I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Middle East is bracing for the possibility that the region returns to war in the days ahead. Iran's parliament speaker, Mohammad Khalibaf, posted to X overnight saying, "Our armed forces are ready to deliver a well-deserved response to any aggression. Mistaken strategy and mistaken decisions will always lead to mistaken results. The whole world has already figured this out. We are prepared for all options. They will be surprised." The threatening language comes after President Trump rejected the Iranian response to the U.S. peace proposal, calling it a piece of garbage, as he indicated the ceasefire is on life support.
Unbelievably weak, I would say. I would call it the weakest right now after reading that piece of garbage they sent us. I didn't even finish reading it. I said, I'm not going to waste my time reading it. I would say it's one of the weakest right now. It's on life support.
On life support, as is the nation of Iran and the leaders of Iran, the regime. And nowhere in this new peace proposal, supposedly groundbreaking in the view of Iran, is there a word about we will cease trying to have nuclear weapons. That's the key point, and they know it. They continue stalling. But you know what's happening? You want to know the real story of what's happening in Iran? Look at what some of the sources are reporting. That first, the Iranian leader that took over after his father was killed, there are reports that he is probably dead. He has not been seen on any video, nor his voice. And they keep telling you, oh, he's okay, just he's recuperating from some injuries, but he's okay. There is no proof of life. But above that, those regime leaders still trying to hold control in Iran, they're already booking plans to get to Russia. They're preparing to move to Russia for safety. They know what's coming. And let's address right away the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room. Inflation numbers are up for the first time in 3 years. Even Axios puts it this way. For the first time in 3 years, American workers' paychecks are lagging behind inflation, a casualty of the Iran war energy shock. CNN puts it this way. For the first time in 3 years, wages aren't outpacing inflation. And they also say we have a survey showing Americans are angry over the high cost of living and prices. Yes, prices are up. Not just for fuel, but other items that you need because it has to be delivered to your local store by truck, van, or some other way. And yes, airline prices will be continuing to go up until this is resolved, especially if you're going to go to Europe, where they're having a very scarce availability of fuel. And all of this is tied to the Iran war, they are wanting you to believe. I'm not going to deny that it's happening, but here's where they're trying to play with you. Every time inflation numbers are reported, they normally take out what is called the core index. That would be the cost of food and fuel. Well, they made sure to include it this time because that way it will push the numbers up. And that's what they did. But still, according to Axios, workers are now earning less in real terms. American households continue to feel the brunt of surging energy costs, adding to the deluge of inflation they've weathered since the pandemic. Yeah, don't forget that, how much the pandemic set us off course to begin with. And the economist Edward Jones stated, moreover, with the Strait of Hormuz still effectively shuttered, the risk that we are not past the peak of these prices will increase. The consumer price index rose 3.8% in April from the same time a year ago. The previous month, 3.3%. So we're at the highest level since 2013. And those numbers include core numbers, which normally are taken out. That would be oil and fuel and groceries. And they account for 40% of the inflation increase. It doesn't deny the fact of what you're going to be paying. I'm not trying to say it doesn't affect, but I want you to understand the reasoning behind it and how the left is saying, look, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, the sky's falling. Prices of inflation the highest in 3 years, and it's under Trump. And it's because he started a war. He joined with the Jews to go after Iran. That's what they want you to hear. Well, you're going to get the right story right here. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, May 12, 2026. Reminding you, with Larry Connors, USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. And part of the education will be a closer look at the inflation numbers later on in the second hour in more detail. And let me take a moment to tell you something. We have kind of a friendly competition among the various show hosts here at News Talk STL. I know tens of thousands of you are listening right now. I know that. And not just in the St. Louis area. Because you have our app, our free app, News Talk STL. You can open it up anywhere on your phone. Your phone becomes your radio. You're listening to the program that's on the air right now, which would be Larry Connors USA. And we also stream video when we're on the air, like right now. Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. And, of course, you can always pull it up later as an audio or video podcast at those sources, such as LarryConnorsUSA.com. You folks, I want to thank you. You continue to be our multiplying factor. I'm watching the numbers for Rumble on Larry Connors USA continue to accelerate. That is not to be dismissive of our other hosts. They're all great. We all work together well. But you are a multiplying factor for Larry Connors USA. Please continue. In our next hour, Alaska considered ground zero for ending all the Biden regs which crippled our oil and gas industry, putting in a worse strait than what we should be right now. And later this hour, Fred Flight's 30 years of national intel, going to bring us up to speed on his view of Iran. He is an expert on Iran, Fred Flight's. And of course, the story behind the story on this date, the body of the kidnapped baby Lindbergh was found. That's our story behind the story. Now, for another view of what's happening with Iran and what may be taking place with the president as he tries to deal with them, here's a coordinator for counterterrorism, Nathan Sales.
Yeah, it's time to turn up the heat on Iran. These guys have been cheating on the ceasefire from day one, and their latest response shows they're just not taking this process seriously. So we've been very patient with these guys. The president has been very patient with the Iranians. The Iranians don't see that as patience. They see it as weakness, and it's time to get their attention. The president certainly has options on the table that he's working through right now to figure out from a scale of 1 to 10.
All at once.
Yeah. So you could go 10, but there are intermediate steps you could do as well. And I think whatever you end up doing, at a minimum, you've got to restart Project Freedom. We've got to keep the economic pressure on the Iranians. We're squeezing their economy, and they're going to run out of gas at a certain point. But at the same time, we need to be reopening that lifeline that the world needs and that we need for commerce, legitimate commerce, to be going in and out of the strait. That's the first step.
And that's a good first step. But keep in mind, the real issue is Iran and its nuclear capability efforts. And let me remind you again, as I said at the beginning, there are reports that numerous of the so-called what's left of the regime are booking flights to get to Moscow, somewhere in Russia. They're going into exile. They want to get out of Iran. They can see what's going to happen. Does that say like they're winning? Oh, hell no, it doesn't. And Trey Yinks to Fox News points out, we still have that other issue President Trump is dealing with.
President Trump also indicated that Iran made commitments about the buried uranium and then didn't include those commitments in their response. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson said this on Monday.
Therefore, everything we proposed in our text consisted of reasonable demands, responsible proposals, and generous suggestions, not only for Iran's national interests, but also for the good, stability, and security of the entire region and the world.
We're also tracking reporting from Fox's Brett Baer that indicates the UAE took part in the war, striking Iran's Levan Island around the time the ceasefire went into effect last month. Here in Israel, more cargo planes and refuelers are landing each day as the country prepares for the possibility that combat operations resume.
And again, the nation of Qatar, or Qatar if you want to use that phrase, says Iran should not be using the strait as a weapon to pressure or blackmail the Gulf countries. And, of course, that's in addition to bombing the United Arab Emirates, or trying to anyway. Everybody in that region is against Iran right now. And it's not just to have the strait open, but to make sure Iran does not get a nuclear weapon. Secretary of War Hegseth, talking to the Senate Committee on Appropriations, we will fight to win in every scenario to include ensuring Iran never, never has a nuclear weapon. Do not forget, that is the key issue here. The issue. And Iran says, what we do have left, it's buried so deep we can't even get to it. Well, then let us come in and see it. But as you heard in that report from Trey Yanks, they didn't even mention that in their latest peace proposal. Oh, yeah, we'll let you come in and look at the uranium, see if you can find it. They're not going to do anything like that. I don't know that there will be, quote, a peace proposal when it gets all said and done. I should say a peace agreement. I think it's going to come down to Elvis left the building, along with the regime leaders. Got the hell out of Dodge because they know they're facing the wrath of the U.S. and their neighboring states, Muslim states. And yet, from the leftist publication, The Hill, one of their spoken outlets, stating Trump is just lost on this issue.
The plain fact of the matter is that Trump miscalculated badly on Iran. Why he did so is in some ways beside the point. Maybe it was hubris. Maybe it was the influence of Netanyahu, who has wanted to attack Iran for decades. Maybe it was unwarranted confidence stemming from the operation in Venezuela at the turn of the year, which quickly captured Nicolas Maduro and relatively smoothly inserted a new, more America-friendly leader in his place. Whatever, Trump is now in a dilemma from which there is no easy way out. Iran believes it has already won a strategic victory by virtue of its simple survival. That leaves the leadership of the Islamic Republic looking extremely unlikely to offer the kind of concession or capitulation that Trump wants. And that, in turn, leaves Trump with two basic choices: to resume an all-out war, or to accept far less than he once wanted, declare victory anyways, and get out.
And we're not going to do that. But I tell you who's getting out? The Iranian leadership, regime leadership. They are trying to get to Russia for safety. By the way, in our next hour, I'm going to tell you that Nancy Pelosi is already saying all of this should affect Trump at the polls for the midterm and otherwise. But she's also saying Trump will be rigging the election. If anyone knows about rigging an election, it would be Pelosi. We'll come back to that in our second hour. In the meantime, Trump headed to China to meet with Premier Xi, his last visit, 2017. Now, this meeting here was to be in either March or April, but the Iran war happened. Well, leftists are now claiming that the Trump visit at this time is really just going to be a dog and pony show. The White House says, not true.
Well, the president, of course, has a great relationship with President Xi, and I think we can expect more of what this president has done over the past year when past presidents, unfortunately, sold out American industry, shipped jobs overseas. This president, thankfully, put an end to that practice and rebalanced trade, rebalanced the economic order to put America first, just as he promised. So this, of course, will be a visit of tremendous symbolic significance. But as you said, there are a number of CEOs coming on this trip because this president never travels for symbolism alone, the American people can expect more good deals for our country, continued work on the U.S.-China Board of Trade, deals spanning the aerospace, energy, agriculture industries that ultimately will end that practice of shipping jobs overseas and selling out American workers in favor of policies and agreements that put America first and revitalize our economy here at home.
Wow, she sounds just like the actual press secretary, who is now on paternity leave. But that was the woman who's now taken over for that part, White House Principal Deputy Press Secretary Anna Kelly. But she's got her facts and notes down as well. Kevin Rudd is the head of the Asia Society in U.S., former Prime Minister of Australia, and he thinks there will be a lot of good to come out of the meeting with China.
Xi is enormously self-confident. He has no serious political opposition. And he thinks he's in a reasonably strong position, particularly given what he's done with technology recently and advances within China. But at the same time, he also recognizes he has an underperforming economy and rising youth unemployment. So when he looks at this summit, his baseline interest, in my view, Brett, is I, Xi Jinping, would like to have a stabilized U.S. relationship because I need that in order to stabilize and improve my own economic performance.
That's what he would like. So he's going to be looking for ways to get a deal with Trump. And, of course, we all know that Trump is the author of the deal. And we will probably come away with some things that would be beneficial for Americans and probably for the Chinese to an extent. By the way, I have already booked Gordon Chang for Friday because that will happen after the two-day summit between Trump and Xi. So Gordon Chang will be with us Friday looking over what was or was not accomplished in that meeting. Gordon Chang, an expert on China. Coming up, an expert on Iran, Fred Flights, now vice chair of America's First Policy on Iran. He has 30 years national intel experience, so when he talks about what's happening behind the scenes, while he cannot give you specifics, he knows the game. He knows the players. So Fred Flights will be coming up. And the story behind the story, before we wrap this date, this hour, it was on this date the kidnapped body of baby Lindbergh was found, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before, and the reason we do is because he's an expert in his field, Fred Flights, now currently the vice chair, as I was saying earlier, of America First Foundation. Let me correct that. State it better for you because I did not say it exactly as it should be. Fred Flights is vice chair of, you thought I was going to blow it, didn't you? America First Policy. Now, Fred, dealing with Iran, welcome aboard first. Glad to have you with us.
Hey, great to be here.
So Iran is claiming that they have presented a good peace proposal again, and Trump calls it trash, and in part because the main ingredient was not even addressed, and that is, we will cease trying to have a nuclear weapon.
It was a terrible response to the U.S. offer. Not only is Iran refusing to give up its nuclear program, it's not going to disassemble its nuclear sites. It says it will agree to restrict its uranium enrichment for a short time, but it asks for war reparations. It asks for the U.S. to recognize its sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz, which means it's going to start imposing tolls. Mm-hmm. It was completely unacceptable. Frankly, it was disrespectful of our country and President Trump.
And at the same time, the Qatar prime minister is saying that Iran should, quote, not use the Strait as a weapon to pressure or blackmail the Gulf countries. Well, they've also been firing upon the United Arab Emirates. They've got angry countries all around them, which you would think would be aligned with them.
I think one of the consequences of this war is that Iran has really alienated just about every neighbor. I mean, obviously, Iran had pre-positioned missiles and drones to attack their neighbors and has fired thousands of the UAE. Now, I understand the UAE, according to the media, is now launching special operations into Iran in retaliation. I think there's going to be a new Arab-Israeli alliance coming from this war because they're so sick and tired of the aggression from Iran.
When your information, based on what you have that you can share, when you say they're launching operation, are we talking about ground forces?
I don't know what it is exactly. I've saw several reports in the media. I can't confirm them. It sounds like it's special operations that the UAE sent in to some locations in Iran. Now, the UAE actually has a pretty good military, but it's small. And it's been involved in conflicts in some other areas of the world. But it it isn't in a position to fight the Iranian military head on head.
Wouldn't an alliance, though, between the UAE or even other Gulf nations joining with Israel to go after Iran, that is world shaking.
Think about this. Israel is providing Iron Dome weapons to the UAE to defend it against Iranian missiles. Who would have thought a few years ago that there'd ever be such collaboration between Israel and an Arab state?
And what is the driving force?
Well, I mean, they see Iran as a mutual threat, and that was what was behind the Abraham Accords, which the Trump administration negotiated in the first term. But the need to cooperate is much greater now because of Iran's aggression, not just its pursuit of nuclear weapons and its missile program, but the fact that it is a rogue state that obviously is prepared to attack anyone, to break international law by taking control of the Strait of Hormuz. It is a serious threat to global and international security. So that's why these states are aligning, I think, against Iran.
Now, the other issue on the plate is the reports. There are reports. I know you've seen them as well. While Iran is claiming it's winning and Trump doesn't know what he's doing, and they're getting a lot of applause and support from the leftist legacy media, basically saying that Trump is in too deep, doesn't know what to do, he either has to walk away with less than what he wanted or just drop everything. You've heard those reports.
I think the Iranian leadership must love reading the New York Times or the Washington Post.
Absolutely.
This is what they say every day. But the fact is, this country's military is broken. Its economy is an absolute disaster. And obviously their propaganda arm is still up and running and spouting lies at the speed of light. But there was an incredible piece in the New York Times over the weekend about massive, massive layoffs in Iran. Their e-commerce capability has been destroyed. Their economy was already in bad shape because of mismanagement last year. But right now, they have the prospect of not being able to pay their security forces, their military. Average Iranians have no jobs, have no money, have no water, have no food. I don't think this is a sustainable situation.
And to that extent, while Iran proclaims that it's still winning and in control and we should be fearing them, there have been reports circulating that some of the higher-ups still alive in the regime are already booking flights to Moscow, somewhere in Russia.
I think that's true, and we've been hearing reports for months that the Iranian elites and leaders are moving their money out of the country because they're fearful about what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, this is a country run by Islamist fanatics. They're prepared to go down in flame. And I think, frankly, that the security threats are not going to be addressed until the people take back their country.
And that's asking a lot of them. I mean, it's one thing to sit here and say that's what they should do. But one, they don't have the weapons. Supposedly, we were going to give Kurdish rebels weapons to go in and do it. I have not seen any new developments on that front.
I think there's more going on behind the scenes than we know. I saw those reports of the president's frustration with the Kurds. I don't know how true that is. It may take some time. I think the Iranian people will rise up again, and I believe there are things being done both the U.S. and Israel to help them.
And there will be massive bloodshed as it is right now of the Iranian people.
Well, unfortunately, I think that's right. But we have to hope there's going to be divisions within the military and the security forces, that they will side with the people. They'll side against this chaos, this destruction of the country that the regime is causing.
You would think that it signals it's a clear message when you know it's circulating, although they've shut off internet in Iran. You know the word is circulating that a lot of the higher ups, the oligarchs and others that still exist, are one, sending their money away, and they're going to follow it.
I think the Iranian people have a pretty good idea what's going on, but there is really a lack of information because the regime has been so successful in closing off the internet and access to the outside world. I hope there's a way that the U.S. and Israel can address that.
The other thing Trump also often talks about, well, you know, we're dealing with different factions inside Iran. I mean, and he has said that the more recent faction they're dealing with seems to be more pliable and willing to accept better deals because they realize we are on the ropes, but yet the official state word is we are in control and the U.S. is nothing.
I think there is an element that would like to stop the war. I don't think they're moderate. They just see the country being destroyed. But I believe there's hardline Revolutionary Guard officials who simply won't compromise. I'm not really sure who we're dealing with or who has control, but it, and you know, there's also arguments that the government is worse than before. It's more radical than before. Well, the old set of leaders were responsible for executing 40,000 protesters in January, so I don't see any difference.
Yeah, and hanging a young teenage athlete just in public square just because he spoke out. Fred, do you see a time that they might actually go back to as they were in 1979, one of the most Western nations in that part of the world?
I hope so. I think it's gonna take a while, but I think the Iranian people are desperate for change, and I hope they can move on this soon.
All right, I cannot let you go without tying this to China, and President Trump headed to meet with Premier Xi starting tomorrow or the day after.
It's very good timing for a meeting. Both states want good relations. They want to extend the truce on tariffs. I think there's going to be good news for the American farmer, for American manufacturers, including Boeing. And Trump is going to ask for Xi's help with Iran. The Chinese are incredibly dependent on the Strait of Hormuz for their energy. Xi could help if he wants to, and I hope Trump will get through to him.
There was a report yesterday, and I can't recall the source, that said China is betraying Iran at this point.
I think the Iranians are frustrated that China hasn't been more out in front and helping them. And it's interesting how there was this so-called axis of Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. But the other members of the axis don't seem too willing in helping very much. I mean, the rhetorical help, there's some help to the Iranian military, but I think it's been pretty limited.
Yeah, the only thing I've seen, North Korea marching in a Russian World War II victory parade. That's it.
Yeah, that's right, which is we should discuss that on another call, but that's right.
Fred Flights, as always, I thank you for your expertise. 30-plus years in National Intel, now Vice Chair of America's First Policy, America First Policy on Iran and all these other issues. Thanks again, Fred.
Good to be here. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. By the way, the Indian Prime Minister is demanding pandemic-era work from home. What's happening in India? No illness. It's just because of the Strait of Hormuz fuel crisis. He's saying, stay at home. Don't be traveling. Don't be using fuel. Wonder how that's going to go over inside India. Coming up, this feature that we have started to close out each 6 o'clock hour, the story behind the story. This time, on this date, baby Lindbergh was found dead.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You should have closed your windows and got another dog. You should have chained up all the doors and switched up all the locks.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
In the early 1930s, aviator Charles Lindbergh was one of the most famous men in the world. So when Lindbergh's infant son was kidnapped and murdered, the press was quick to dub it the crime of the century. Despite the media attention, the police investigation quickly stalled. For over 2 years, the identity of the Lindbergh baby kidnapper was one of history's greatest mysteries.
New York City, 1927. As the world watches, Charles Lindbergh readies himself for a feat never before achieved by mankind. A solo flight from the United States to Europe. Lindbergh's whole life has led to this moment. Dropping out of college to become a stunt pilot, and then enlisting in the U.S. Army to join flight school. He opts for a single-engine plane without a parachute or radio so he can store more gasoline. And the newspapers call him the Flying Fool. Nevertheless, Lindbergh takes off from Roosevelt Field in Long Island, beginning his long voyage to Paris. Almost 34 hours later, Lindbergh safely touches down in Paris to a crowd of 100,000 adoring fans.
That was all an exciting time for Charles Lindbergh and the world. And later, Charles would marry Ann Spencer, May 27th, 1929. But then at approximately 9 o'clock, on March 1st, 1932, their world got turned upside down. They thought they were safe because even with the economy in the nation the way it was, Lindbergh was certainly admired, respected, had donors and money. He was able to set up an estate safe away from the public, even if they wanted to adore him. He wanted some safety and security, as any man would for his family. And so then they moved into the estate.
The couple moves to a large estate in Hopewell, New Jersey, ready to raise young Charles Jr. without the media fanfare of their past. But Within a year, the Lindberghs would experience one of the most severe media frenzies in history, a story that would capture the attention of a nation and haunt the couple for the rest of their lives. March 1st, 1932, 9 p.m., Charles Lindbergh, his wife, and their wily terrier, Wagoosh, relax in their home as 20-month-old Charles Jr. sleeps soundly in the nursery upstairs. But outside the safety of the Lindbergh home, in the darkness of their 600-acre estate, lurks a clandestine figure. He uses a makeshift ladder to enter the infant's second-floor nursery and snatches Charles Jr. from his crib. Unseen by the baby's parents, the house workers, and the family dog, the mysterious kidnapper vanishes into the cold, damp night with a 20-month-old son of America's biggest celebrity. He leaves behind only traces of mud, a broken ladder, and a handwritten ransom note demanding $50,000 in exchange for the safe return of Charles Jr. By 10 p.m., the baby's nurse discovers the empty crib and alerts the Lindberghs. 30 minutes later, law enforcement, detectives, and the media arrive at the estate, and before midnight, the nation is transfixed as the manhunt for the Lindbergh kidnapper begins. An egregious act immediately dubbed the crime of the century.
And obviously it was, and it captivated every headline. If you'd had modern-day communications as we do now, it would have been wall-to-wall coverage on a constant basis, on everything. Baby Lindbergh, 20 months old, in his crib at one moment and then gone. His mother had just come out of the bath, was unaware that the baby was not in the crib. The Lindbergh's nurse realized the baby's not here. And she found that ransom note demanding $50,000. Poor handwriting and grammar. Lindbergh himself took a gun, went around the house and grounds with the family butler trying to find something. All they found, impressions on the ground under the window of the baby's room and pieces of a wooden ladder and a baby's blanket. So they called the local police, and Lindbergh contacted his attorney and friend and the New Jersey State Police. Keep in mind, this is happening in 1932. Another note came, and this piece of audio, like some of the other, is coming from the History Channel.
Just 3 days after the crime is committed, the Lindberghs receive a new ransom note, wrought with misspellings, demanding an increased sum to be paid of $70,000, or an inflation-adjusted $1 million. Eager to help, retired school principal Dr. John Condon volunteers to act as the intermediary between the family and the kidnapper. The kidnapper and Lindbergh agree, and Dr. Condon becomes the conduit. 1 month and 12 ransom notes after the kidnapping, Condon finally sets up a meeting to exchange the money for information detailing the child's whereabouts. The kidnapper identifies himself as John and does little to hide his appearance from Condon. Dr. Condon hands over a bag of bills and gold notes and receives a letter in return, pointing authorities to a boat named Nellie near Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. The stranger departs, but Condon remains confident that he could identify the kidnapper if he were to ever see him again.
And a sketch artist followed Condon's description, and that was plastered everywhere. They went to Martha's Vineyard, and that boat Nellie did not exist. And they still did not know what had happened to the baby at that point. Jump ahead. After the baby's been found, but still no one to be charged with what happened in the kidnapping and eventual death, murder of baby Lindbergh. Jump ahead, May 12, 1936.
1 year after the kidnapping, Charles Jr. is found dead and decomposed, less than 5 miles from the Lindbergh home. Skull bruises indicate death by trauma to the head. A family and a nation mourns, but becomes resolved to locating the murderer and bringing him to justice. So how does a criminal, incapable of writing a literate ransom note, stage a kidnapping that fools a nation? With both Lindbergh parents awake and a house full of staff relatively unknown to the couple, the notion of an inside job remains a possibility. The broken ladder left at the scene of the crime implies the descent may have gone wrong, resulting in the kidnapper accidentally dropping the baby. Suspicion quickly falls on Violet Sharp, a housekeeper at the Lindbergh estate. Sharp's shifting alibis and uncooperative attitude towards police make her a prime suspect. 1 year later, after the discovery of the baby's body, Sharp is brought in for questioning. After a series of potentially incriminating answers, she's asked to return for another interview, including the detailing of her bank accounts. But a day before the hearing, she commits suicide.
And the FBI did not get involved immediately. But that changed in October 1933 when FDR announced the FBI would take over jurisdiction. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
On March 2nd, 1932, spurred on by public demand, FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover announces the full backing of the investigative agency and the Department of Justice, pledging any and all of the Federal Bureau's resources to find the murderer. Along with federal support, experts spanning across industries share their knowledge to help find the killer. Handwriting specialists examine the ransom notes and judge the writer to be of German nationality. Re-examinations of Dr. Condon's meetings with the man calling himself John corroborate these claims, and dialect teams analyze Condon's attempt to mimic John's accent to further narrow down potential matches. Even woodwork aficionados chip in to help solve the mystery. Arthur Kohler of the United States Department of Agriculture examines the ladder left at the scene of the kidnapping, allowing officials to narrow down suspects even further to those with access to specific types of wood and carpentry tools. Even with an army of experts and the full backing of the FBI, the kidnapper remains at large.
But again, the baby had been found on this date, May 12th, 1932. A delivery truck rider, or driver, I should say, found baby Lindbergh about 4.5 miles south of the home. But of course, the investigation continued. Who did this? The FBI quickly started getting involved in trying to track the money. Serial numbers were dispersed to everyone who might come across them.
As matching serial numbers pop up, the FBI pins the location on a map, slowly but surely indicating the movement of the money, and perhaps the individual or individuals responsible for the crime. On September 18, 1934, a banker phones the New York City Bureau about a deposit involving a $10 gold certificate, matching one used in the ransom. Authorities quickly jump to track the gold note's path to the bank and trace it to a gas station on 127th and Lexington. The attendant provides the Bureau with a license plate number of the purchaser, noting it after suspicions that his appearance matches the description of the infamous kidnapper. The license plate is registered to a German carpenter, Bruno Richard Hauptmann. The authorities immediately investigate, and the evidence is damning. Hauptmann perfectly matches Dr. Condon's description of the kidnapper, and his recent transactions are dominated by $10 and $20 gold certificates. Gold certificates are discovered in his home and in his pockets, and writing samples match the illegible and broken English content of the ransom letter. Finally, after 2 years, the Lindbergh kidnapper and murderer of 20-month-old Charles Jr. is caught.
At least in the view of police and investigators. Altman charged with capital murder. On the basis of the latter, some of the money found in his possession, obviously. The defense offered a lengthy explanation, trying to show, no, there are plenty of other reasons to explain why this happened. His wife came forward to kind of help support her husband. But he was convicted February 13, 1935, immediately sentenced to death. The attorneys appealed directly to the New Jersey court. And even the New Jersey governor met with Hauptmann quietly, secretly, in his evening, in his cell on the evening of October 16, trying to see if he could get additional information. Hauptmann lost the first appeal but filed a second, asking for clemency from the New Jersey Board of Pardons. And that was denied. He did turn down a large offer from the Hearst newspaper for a confession. He refused a last-minute offer to commute the sentence from the death penalty to life without parole in exchange for a confession. So he was executed in the electric chair April 3rd, 1936. There are still many questions about it and many theories. A number of books written about the crime itself and about Hauptmann specifically. One author, a fingerprint expert, and it was the early age of fingerprints, said there are cases in places where he should have touched the ladder. I don't find his fingerprints. There was still another book saying that Hauptmann was guilty but questioned whether he should have been executed. Still another claims that he got a signed confession from an attorney involved with Hauptmann. Baby Lindbergh had been found and laid to peace. Hauptmann ended up being electrocuted. And questions still surround that case. Tomorrow, our story behind the story, the John Birch Society. Who was John Birch? What is the society? What is it doing today compared to yesteryear? And maybe planning for the future. We still have our second hour to come. And don't forget our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.